Pleasure.
This afternoon. This is part of our 120th anniversary, and we're hoping to have some of these online for October. I'm just going to begin this recording by giving my name and date, and I'll ask you to say your name and then I'll talk to us.
Yes.
Okay. So this is Sue Donnelly. It's the 17th of June 2015, and it's 15:55. And I'll just ask Wendy to give you her name and also her course.
Okay. My name is now Wendy Weinberg. My name when I was at LSE was Wendy Yates, Y-A-T-E-S, and I did a BSc Econ at LSE from 1953 to 1956, specialising in government.
Thank you. So a bit of background first. I wonder if you could tell us where you were born and brought up.
Blackpool in Lancashire, northwest, and I went to grammar school in Blackpool. Came straight from A-levels to LSE.
Okay. And why did you choose LSE? From Blackpool to LSE?
Yes, it was quite a stretch, yes. And nobody advised me to come. I did, for A-levels, English, French and History. We did 19th century English history, studying that for 2 years. And I became interested in the trade union movement in the 19th century, and I became interested in the Webbs, history of trade unionism, and G.D.H. Cole, and so forth. My history teacher informed me that I could do this if I want, but social history didn't count. But nevertheless, I read this tome about the history of trade unionism, and then I found out that LSE was started by the Webbs and Bernard Shaw, who plays I also very much enjoyed and read in high school. And so I decided that I sent off for the calendar. They called it the calendar. I don't know if they still do. And I looked at the courses. They looked just like what I was interested in. Actually, I thought the sociology looked more interesting than economics, but to do a sociology degree, you had to study statistics. I had dropped maths when I was 15 or 16. I had not even taken maths at O level. And I knew that statistics would be my stumbling block. Mm-hmm. So I put up with it and did economics instead, which is kind of absurd, and you couldn't do that nowadays, quite rightly. So that's what I did, and I came. People advised me to go to a northern university because that's where all the girls from Arnold High School for Girls went. Other people advised me to go to Exeter because it was small and I would not be lost there. But I decided I was coming to LSE.
What were your first impressions?
I don't really know. They were kind of favourable. It was a scruffy place in those days. It was sort of like a scruffy public library in Blackpool. But it was lively, very lively. I think we were mailed in advance. We were mailed a student union handbook, and that showed all sorts of interesting things to do here. And it just seemed lively, and those are about my first impressions.
And so you did the BSc Econ and specialised in government, so who were your tutors?
The BSc Econ part, without the specialising in government, or without particularly specialising in government, were for the first 2 years. My principal tutor was called John Watkins, whom Watkins Plaza, I believe, is named after. I think that I wrote maybe 3 essays for him in 3 years, and that's about all the writing I did for him, maybe 4. I met him once or twice. No, I met him after each essay, but I didn't meet him on any regular basis. He wouldn't have recognized me out of at the time, I don't think. We really didn't have other tutors. That was my principal tutor. He was in, at the time, he was in the government department. I think he later moved maybe to Professor Popper's, what had been Professor Popper's department. The academic part of LSE was not nearly, I believe, as good as it is now, because we could, nobody was checking up on us. There were no exams for 2 years, at which time you were meant to have covered, for example, there were for part one, that's for 2 years, for part one, I believe we did about 8 subjects. We did, I remember, something like 500 years of economic history, 500 years of political history, applied economics, principles of economics. I did logic and scientific method, which was a highlight, French, and one of a government, and so forth. Now, to come from a high school where for 2 years you were studying 100 years of British history and 200 years of European history, 8 literature books, and 5 French literature books. That's what we studied for 2 years in high school. Very difficult to make that switch to these broad expanses of subjects. And I didn't make it, I didn't find that transition at all easy, especially since we did not have tutorials or tests or anything like that.
Were there any particularly good lecturers that
Yes, they were all good. Mm-hmm. I did go to virtually all the lectures, and they were all terrific. They really were all... in a way, it's a good thing to go to a university, to go to study something that you don't know everything about, or indeed don't know anything about in my case. I think that's a good thing. So I learned, quite a bit of economics. Applied economics was interesting. Principles of economics was... I loved learning about it. It's that I didn't know much, anything about it before I came. I shouldn't mention, if I could, Professor Popper. I mean, I was lucky enough to be in a seminar size. There were, must have been about 20 of us in Popper's course on logic and scientific method. Now, I hadn't heard of Karl Popper at the time, had no idea what a great man he was. In my opinion, he was a great man, as well as knowing that in fact he was. So it was particularly interesting. It was wonderful to have this, without having this preconceived notion that now I'm hearing a great man. It was grand.
And where did you live when you
I lived at Nutford House near Marble Arch, which was a student residence for all sorts of different colleges of London University. There were a few of us from LSE. In fact, I had tea just yesterday with one of the few LSE people in my year who lived at Nutford House.
And what was social life?
I was very involved with student societies, mainly the Labour Society. I can't think what other organisations are, the Students' Union and the Labour Society. Now, that's only 2 things, but my goodness, there was so much going on, so much going on.
And you were General Secretary?
Yes, of the, I was Secretary of the Labour Society and subsequently General Secretary of the Students' Union. It involved things like meeting, first of all, being at all of the student union meetings, which, as you may know, were divided into private business and then public business, and the president of the students' union was not a figurehead. The President's Union was what subsequently the General Secretary became the General Secretary. So there was a staff person who was the actual secretary of the Students' Union. But I remember, for example, meeting Herbert Morrison on the steps, the Deputy Prime Minister, on the steps of the old building, this building, and, you know, taking him to not to the Student Union, but to the Labour Society meeting. You know, there would be 20, 25 of us. We had wonderful speakers in those days, both for the societies, different societies, and for the Students' Union.
What do you remember of the what we now call the campus, those days, the buildings, I suppose?
The buildings. Well, this was this was and is the old building, right? And across, the one that's being torn down is the new building, right? Yeah, yeah.
We now call it the East Building.
Oh, do you? Well, it was called the New Building, I think in our day. And the library was the library of those days, you know, it was, there were none of the computers or anything like that, obviously.
Did you use the library very much?
Yes, moderately. But you know, the lectures were there was so much going on in terms of interesting lectures, academic lectures, and different societies. You know, the India Society, and would have, I think it was Madame Pandit, would come and be talking, and so we had wonderful meetings. There's just so much going on. That was the advantage, which I'm sure you still have, of being bang in the middle of central London.
There's always something happening.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your graduation ceremony like?
I didn't go to it. No, after I stayed to finish my degree, having already decided that I was going to marry my husband, who'd gone back to America. So I went to America in July, got married in August, and went to law school in September. Much to the thanks of my tutor, who wrote a nice testimonial or whatever.
So that was John Watkins.
It was, yes. I have a lot to thank him for.
So after leaving LSE, you went to the States, and then what did you do?
I went immediately to law school after I got married. And that's a graduate degree in the United States. So I went to Yale, where my husband had finished his first year. And that was another three-year degree. And academically, it was much easier in the sense that you knew what was expected of you. You knew what you were supposed to read. And it was more manageable. You could get your teeth into it. I could never, as an undergraduate, really... I found everything very interesting and stimulating, but you couldn't manage it. You didn't get the teaching. The teaching has changed, I know, considerably at the school. You just didn't get the teaching in those days. Everything was here for you to take advantage of, but you didn't actually get, quote, taught. Right.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about?
I think people might be interested in the careers advice that we used to get in those days.
Yes.
I think that the careers advisor was called Commander something or other, and I think that he was retired from the Navy. And I did see him twice. And this will sound shocking to present ears, but I don't. I'll tell you what I thought about it. He asked me what I was interested in. This was assuming that I stayed here before I decided to get married. And I said I would be interested in something like working for the BBC, or maybe in being a research person for people in Parliament, for an MP. that's the kind of thing I would be interested in. And he said, yes. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I sat back and waited for him to tell me how to proceed, what ideas he had. And he said, well, I will tell you, I know several people, several women, who have started out at the BBC, for example, as a secretary, and then they see what jobs are available and they can move into those kind of jobs. So you might be interested in that. And for that, I would advise you to learn shorthand and typing. So I said, yes, and where would I do that? Anyway, Pitman's, I don't know if it's still there. I kind of hope not. Pitman's was on Kingsway, or else just above Southampton Row. Big, big building. So I duly, at the same time I was going to LSE and having a wonderful time, I duly signed up to do a shorthand and typing course to learn it at the same time at Pitman's. Well, everybody, I think, ought to be a waitress or a waiter, work in a shop, and be a secretary and be a nurse. Because if you did that, you would be much more respectful of the people who do those jobs. I found typing relatively easy. I could do the typing. I could not do shorthand. It's very, very difficult to do Pitman's shorthand. And it was a wonderfully sort of 19th century environment. You had a steel, you could not do it with a ballpoint pen, you couldn't do it with a pencil, you couldn't do it with a fountain pen, you had to use a steel pen which you dipped in the ink. And literally, I blotted my copybook over and over and over again. And this was not thought to be funny. This was bad. So I found shorthand far more difficult than French. But the typing stood me in good stead. Oh, and I must just tell you this
one. You gave up on the idea of...
I did law instead. I must just tell you this either off the record or whatever, but down in the basement of Pitman's, there were these huge mirrors, almost as tall as this room. This was in the ladies' room. Almost as tall as this room. And they were kind of moth-eaten. They were mottled, you know. And in the very middle of these huge mirrors, there was a notice about every 6 feet or so, small notice. So you went and looked at it, and it said, "Employers do not like girls who paint their faces." So that was the kind of atmosphere. And to go from LSE to Pitman's and back again was fun, was interesting.
And one thing we're asking everybody is, what would you like the future of LSE to be?
I would like it not to get to be too huge. I would like it to maintain the balance of about 50% undergraduates, about 50% graduates, which is one of the great strengths when I was here. I didn't mention it, but I liked very much the fact that the balance, there was such a cross-section. And, of course, to have about half foreign students and about half domestic students. I think that's the hardest thing, is to continue to keep enough domestic students, and indeed to get enough domestic students doing graduate work, because so everything depends so much on finances. But I hope that it doesn't change. I hope the balances don't change very significantly. So it should both be graduate and undergraduate, and heavily, heavily foreign. That was one of the great things I enjoyed the most, was people from, you knew which people were from India, which people were from Nigeria and which from Ghana. I mean, you really knew people very well and knew exactly where they were from, and the Indians and the Pakistanis and so forth. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay.
Lovely.
Here we go.